Finally pushed her too far.
We did. She's got to go.
It's understandable, Melissa. And we thank you for your everything. No, have a great weekend, Melissa. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
We'll be back more after.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a stunning gain in the jobs market. The Labor Department says employers added 336,000 positions in September. That's up from 180,000 the month before. The takeaway for John Waldman at Home Base?
Well, we've been on a long road to recovery. We're starting to get to a bit of a more normal place than what we've seen in every part of the labor market over the last 3 years.
Unemployment held steady at 3.8%, strongest jobs gains in leisure and hospitality, government and healthcare. An update on the healthcare strike.
Today's day three and scheduled to be the last day of the walkout by thousands of healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente.
We're looking for wages that keep up with the cost of inflation. You know, every single one of our members knows somebody who is working 10, 20, 30 hours, or they themselves are working that kind of overtime just to make ends meet.
Caroline Lucas of the Coalition of Kaiser Permanente Unions.
They are burnt out.
There's been no movement reported in other ongoing strikes by auto workers and film and TV actors. Tom Foti, CBS News.
The Biden administration insists extending barriers at the southern border doesn't change a thing. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas at a meeting on the issue in Mexico.
Our policy remains as it was since day one. We are opposed to the construction of the wall.
He says the Biden administration is legally bound to build more wall because of money allocated by Congress during the Trump administration. Biden officials are also planning to restart deportations of Venezuelan migrants. People who live in the Northeast are in for another soaking. Tropical Storm Philippe is aimed at Bermuda right now on a path that's eventually expected to lead it to the U.S. Odyssey meteorologist Craig Allen.
While not necessarily tropical in structure, it's still going to bring wind, rain, and rough surf to many portions of the New England coastline, anywhere from Cape Cod right on up through portions of Boston and into Maine.
The former University of Southern California gynecologist accused of sexually abusing hundreds of patients has died in L.A. KCAL-TV's Mike Rogers.
George Schindel was found dead in his condo, his L.A. area condo. The 76-year-old was not answering a phone call from a friend. He's home out on parole awaiting his hearing. And when the friend couldn't get a hold of him, that's when he went over to the condo to check on him and found him dead.
No word on the cause. Changes for Girl Scout cookie lovers.
The new cookies are dipped in the same chocolatey coating.
The organization's pausing sales of Thin Mints crispy cookie sister, the Raspberry Rally, to focus on classic varieties and thank inflation for a $1 or $2 increase in prices this year. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 52, west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tonight, lows dip down to about 33, partly cloudy. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high of 53, cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Behind the microphone, I am joined by Seth Habagger.
Good morning, all.
And we're joined right now by our good friend, sports director here at Civic Media, Mike Clemens. Good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
Doing good.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm okay. I'm almost caught up in my sleep after working till about 3 or 4 in the morning after the Brewers games this week.
Ooh, can imagine. Yeah. And good to hear about that. Mike, I want to talk a little Brewers with you. I want to talk Bucks Media Day with you and get into a little wrap up with some Badgers and Rutgers in their homecoming game. If you don't mind, and Wisconsin doesn't mind, I have to start with the legend Dick Butkus, who passed away yesterday at the age of 80. Now, I know that this man played 9 years for the Chicago Bears, your rival, but I also know that after Walter Payton, one of the most beautiful moments I'll ever see in sports is when Walter Payton passed away. And I'm sitting there watching that first game of Bears-Packers that weekend in Lambeau with my nothing but Packer fans. And all you saw throughout the stadium was "Thank you, Walter" signs from Packer fans. It shows why this rivalry is the greatest in sports to me. That we can, you know, tear each other apart and be rivals right up until these kind of moments when you lose somebody like this, who, along with Ray Nitschke, gave you two of the arguably toughest, most angry people ever in football. Mike, did you get to see Dick Butkus, to know Dick Butkus? Or not know Dick Butkus, but do you have any comments on the legendary career of his?
Several times. Now, I think that Bart and Cherry Starr or Zeke Borkowski might disagree with them liking Dick Butkus ever.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Right.
No, Dick Butkus is the best linebacker ever in the NFL. Now, there's some Packer fans that are already posting nasty things when I tweeted that out last night, saying, no, it was Ray Nitschke. Ray Nitschke won 5 championships. No, that's what makes Butkus even greater from the standpoint of, you know, he had Jack and Cannon and he had Gale Sayers for a cup of coffee, but, you know, he struggled through miserable offenses and bad field goal kickers, and that's why they lost a lot of games during, I think it was his 9 years of playing. I'll tell you another thing, too. Dick Butkus might have, you know, a beef with George Halas and that Chicago Bears team because he messed up his knee and still went out there and played several years after that.
Yeah.
Kind of the career cut short. And, you know, the Bears didn't do right by him financially.
No.
But he never strayed, and he played as long as he could, and he kept coming back year after year later on to become that iconic figure, that alumni, which is important to all of these teams. I think the New York Yankees started that when they would bring it back to DiMaggio every year. Mm-hmm. Now you see the Packers do it. But, I mean, and Dick did some movies. Remember, he did some movies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In The Longest Yard and some TV appearances back in the 70s. But he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
He was a funny guy. But the way he played, of course, when you see a Dick Butkus highlight reel, you say, well, that's a penalty.
Yeah.
At least 30 rules, you know, were made maybe off of what Dick Butkus was doing, but he was so ferocious, so intense, intimidated guys, and played to the whistle and beyond every single play. And there's and it started back in his time at Illinois. And listen, there's players I've talked to from the 80s and 90s that say, no, Lawrence Taylor from the Giants, and I'll give them that.
Mm.
But in that important era of the 50s and 60s, from Johnny Unitas, you know, and the sudden death game in the 50s to the 1960s when it was in color and on TV for the first time, Dick Butkus is one of the 4 or 5 most important players that got the NFL to the next level of fans following the sport across the country.
Longtime friend of Ray Nitschke. They went to school together. And certainly, I can't imagine what that linebacking tandem must have been like at Illinois for those years that they played together over there. He went to the same high school as my grandparents did and was actually not a family friend, but somebody that my family would see in Platteville at some of the Bears training camps and things. And one of these guys that was just so self-deprecating and so kind of like you can make fun of me, I can take it kind of thing. Went to, didn't go, you know, didn't have the greatest grades or anything. It's blue collar all the way through. And one of the things that I found really interesting when hearing a lot of people talking about him was actually Archie Manning talking about it. And I don't know if you heard this, Mike, but Archie Manning was talking about, you know, how great athlete he was, all these other things. But he couldn't have been sweeter off the field, but you were still afraid of him. Like, you still had a little, like, you still kept your eye on him and everything. Archie Manning's talking about golfing with him and everything. It's still, like, kind of out of the corner of his eye, like, is he coming
after me?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, because you saw him play.
Yeah.
Is that guy going to flip the switch on him? Now, here's another thought. Now, the Packers have this game Monday night, right? Mm. Luke Butkus, his nephew, is the offensive line coach for the Green Bay Packers. Oh. I mean, when's the service going to be?
Yeah.
Can they hold it off until? Because they were close. Mm-hmm. And we've asked him, you know, about Uncle Dick. And what was Uncle Dick's reaction when he found out you're taking a job with the Green Bay Packers? You know, like, are you kidding me? Offensive line coach? For those guys, they've got all these other teams where you can get a job. So that's going to be interesting to hear, you know, today from Luke, after hearing about the passing of his Uncle Dick, and how he's going to, you know, get through that this weekend and get ready for Monday night's football game. But no, and then the Bears go out and win the game.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Here's what's interesting. DJ Moore had this great game, the wide receiver that they picked up to help out Justin Fields. He goes out and has 230 yards receptions, three touchdowns. You know, that his yardage, that's second highest ever for a Bear wide receiver in a game. But you know something? Matt Eberflus, the head coach, did not talk to about it to the players, to these 25-year-olds. Mm. And they all know who he is because, I mean, hell, Dick was there on the field for the home opener, season opener against the Packers. But I think Eberflus just said, look, just focus on the game plan. Focus on the game plan. But DJ Moore said, you know, actually, after our warm-ups, I went back to the locker room and looked at my phone, and I saw the news on Instagram. So, you know, that's kind of – it wasn't like they were doing it for Dick Butkus. They were doing it because they were trying to snap a 14-game losing streak, and they finally did last night and looked very good offensively.
It's interesting, and at the same time, I don't believe in coincidences. Maybe it's the last bit of like a faith I have in things, but I think that the two things somehow were tied together.
This is what makes the NFL great.
Yes.
No one had the Bears winning last night on the road in Washington.
No.
And then you get those two stories back to back. I mean, it's unbelievable.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
The games that you least expect end up being the most dramatic sometimes.
First ballot Hall of Famer in 79, Bears retired number 51 in 94, certainly going to be missed. And a great actor, too, I should mention. I liked him as an actor. Thank you for humoring me, Mark.
I was there, by the way, that game in 94. And that was the one where the rain was coming down so hard. It was coming down sideways. There were winds gusting up to 60, 70 miles an hour that took a plane out of the sky, a passenger plane, over in Indiana. And all those lives lost on there. And the Bears, though, they went right ahead. And so there's the great Gale Sayers.
Yep.
And there's Butkus in their ponchos.
I'll never forget it.
Their numbers being retired.
It was so, and it wasn't a great game either. But it was that was the highlight right there, getting to see those two again. And you'd say, there was something about it with the weather being the way it was. It was almost fitting in some ways, just because of everything that the Midwest football is, and those two playing it and stuff. Thank you, Mike, for humoring me.
The backdrop for the Monsters of the Midway.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's shift gears to Bucks Media Day. Mike, were you able to attend Media Day? Is Media Day still as meaningful as it used to be? I would think that this one was, bringing in Dame and all of that.
Actually, it was a pretty fancy setup. They had network people there. They had probably 40 or 50 people from around the state. Yeah, I was there for the whole thing. And, you know, it was Giannis's first opportunity because, you know, I'll tell you what, Giannis is going to this next level like all NBA players. Like, okay, I've achieved a certain amount of respect in this league as an MVP, as a NBA Finals title winner, and now I want to start working the roster. And there's no question about it that, you know, Damian Lillard is a guy that, you know, said, okay, I've served Portland. They're doing a rebuild here. They're bringing in a bunch of young players. I'm 33. I'm at the peak of my career as a point guard. I want out of here. I think he was hoping he could join up with Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat and make a run. Mm. And instead, the call came from Milwaukee. So he agrees to come. Terry Stotts was his former head coach there out in Portland. Terry is now, you know, a part of this Adrian Griffin staff, former mm-hmm. Bucks head coach. And so that was one thing that sold him. But here's the other thing that nobody was paying attention to, and that was that when Giannis was the captain for the Eastern Conference in the All-Star game, who was the first player he picked?
Damian Lillard.
Dame time. And so then you go through the summertime, and you know, you saw Lopez was re-signed, and you saw Chris Middleton was brought back, as if the franchise is saying, okay, what else do you want? And then Giannis happens to drop a little interview in August where he says, you know, I don't care what team I play for. I need to see that they are doing everything they can, like me, to win. And I don't just mean, oh, we won, you know, we got to the playoffs. I mean to win it all. Mm. And so, and then in September, he's supposed to sign his extension. So this was the first time where he can backtrack those words. First, he drops it in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets that leverage where they get the Damian Lillard thing done. And then he comes back to game day and say, listen, I say that every year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you don't do it in the New York Times.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, a little different.
And now he's here, and now he got his guy, and he's putting the, and you know something? There's a new owner in the house. Mark Lasry is gone.
Yeah.
Mark Lasry is gone. And so he's want to make sure that this Jimmy Haslam, who hasn't done the best job with the Cleveland Browns, is pushed off to the side, and it's Wes Edens making the final calls and building that team. So, you know, Giannis has become as competitive off the court. I mean, frankly, a little bit of Aaron Rodgers in there.
Mm.
But also, this is the way it is in the NBA. These NFL guys are following the lead of these superstars in the NBA saying, I want to decide who I play with to get to where we want to be.
I'm curious if this shifts that a little bit, because he was very not adamant. He wasn't pulling a James Harden, because Dame isn't like that. He's just not that guy. But he did try to make things uncomfortable for Portland, and he did come out and say he wanted to play in Miami, and that was the only place he wanted to go. They trade him to Milwaukee. He doesn't go to the place he wanted to, like a James Harden or some other athletes. I'm wondering, because I'm seeing on social media a lot of the GMs around the NBA are celebrating this, and this is a win for them. I don't know about that, but what do you think, Mike?
Well, I thought Dame was very honest when he came up and said, yeah, my agent called and said, you just got traded to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty honest in his recall of that phone call saying, wow, okay. And the agent said, yeah, this is real. It's happening. Let me get some more information for you. I'll call you back. And you could see that he actually was justifying himself and saying, well, I've been to Milwaukee several times. I've played there. You know, it's kind of like Portland, and I don't mind that size of city. So, he kind of had to learn to accept it, because actually any player, that when the moment comes that they're actually traded, they're a little bit in shock, just as Drew Holiday, who just told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel 3 days before, hey, I know how things happen against the Heat, but man, I've really grown to love it here. I participate in the community, and I hope to finish my career here.
Yeah.
And 3 days later, they launch him to the Trailblazers, who then send him out to the Boston Celtics. And it's Drew Holiday now saying, hey, look, I'm back in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, that is going to be some interesting matchups with those two. All season long, it already was going to be, and let alone now, with the kind of arms race they were in here for a little bit and might still be in going forward. I'm curious, Mike, I want to talk a little Brewers with you now. Did you have anything else on the media day?
No, okay. Just that I think the Bucks are set up for a nice run, and you know what? The bottom line is John Horst has really grown as a GM, and to pull off that deal, and to keep Wes Edens happy, and to make the you got time? I got one other quick story about Coach Bud. Mm-hmm. All right,
yeah.
So Mark Lasry did an interview about 2 weeks before that playoff series against the Miami Heat, where they were saying, and, you know, he'd sold his share of the team at that point. And they said, so how do you think this is going to be when the Bucks get in the playoffs? Because, you know, they've got a great team. They've been the number one seed all year and blah, blah, blah. He says, but, you know, one night I was watching a game, and I can't remember the player. He said, but, you know, they had one guy that just was hotter than a pistol and scoring and scoring and scoring. But then eventually the Bucks were able to figure out a way to come back, and they won the game. He said, so I asked Mike Budenholzer, Coach Bud, I said, you know what? Why didn't you change? Why didn't you double-team that guy? And he says, I found Bud's reply to be interesting. He said, because I knew he'd be gassed by the fourth quarter. Okay. So he said, you know, we'll see how that turns out. But and then 2 weeks later, they play the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler's unstoppable. Bud never changes and gets a double-team on him. Plus, Giannis goes down with a back injury. Mm. And even though his brother dies in a car accident before game four, the team just says, enough. We've seen enough of this. Yeah. And we need something different. And I think that's where, you know, they ask Giannis's opinion. John Horst sees that. Wes Eden sees that. And I just thought that was fascinating that Mark Lasry called that before it actually happened with Jimmy Butler and the Heat. Why aren't you double-teaming this guy?
It just,
Bud thought at some point he was going to run out of gas.
And looking forward to seeing how all these teams match up in the East this year, because I think the East is going to be just as competitive as the West, if not more, in some ways, with Cleveland rising up and some other teams. I just can't wait. You're going to be able to catch Milwaukee Buck games right here at WFHR and under the Civic Media umbrella. Mm-hmm. Tell you more about that as we get closer to the season. God, that feels good to say. Oh, I love saying that.
It's exciting.
Yeah, big basketball guy, Mike. Sorry. I do want to talk a little baseball with you in Brewers, wrapping up this season. What are your thoughts on the Brewers season?
I thought Craig Counsell did an extremely good job of managing that team, particularly those relief pitchers, you know, before he got to Devin Williams. And then, you know, Matt Arnold, the GM, comes through and pulls off that deal to get four or five pretty good veterans to help get the bats going for that team. They have this great run in the last 6 weeks where in a division where first it looked like it was going to be the Pirates, then it was going to be the Reds, and then the Cubs got hot, and then, you know, the Brewers came back and took over the first, and then they you know, the last month and a half of the season, they locked up and secured the division. In a division that, you know, was okay. Mm-hmm. But they get to a couple of these innings where, in this game, this series this week, where it's late in the game, about eighth inning, and he sits down the outstanding second baseman, Bryce Terang, and brings in Jesse Winker, who had not played since July 24th, and who's, you know, I sat and watched him in batting practice in July, two or three nights, and I know it's just BP, but I'm telling you, between watching Yelich and Rowdy Tellez and these other guys, you know, Winker is actually a power batter. I mean, he was bouncing balls off the scoreboard. So I thought, oh, well, maybe this is what they see in the guy. Well, he never came through. We even got an off-the-record comment in August, like, yeah, he's not really in our plans. So now here we are in the wild card series, and Council's putting him in there.
Whoa,
where on his first swing, he hurts his oblique, and the next night he does it again. And, you know, he grounds out. So that was kind of weird. But on the other side of the field was the Arizona Diamondbacks. And there was a series I covered when Arizona came to Milwaukee. It was about in June, I think. And I swear to you, after that series, I thought, you know, if there's ever a team that you don't want to see come in, it might be these Diamondbacks, just by the way they play. And, you know, you've got this Torrey LaVeil, who was a former infielder, now the manager of the Diamondbacks, and he does little things where he shifts things around, and then he talks about it in the media. So after he beat them game one, he said, yeah, you know what? We've been watching tape of Corbin Burns, and the curveball was not hitting where he wanted to. So we thought, you know what? There's a chance we could beat this guy. If we just do this, this, and this, we could beat him. And if we get game one, then we'll put our ace in, Zach Gallen, in game two. And it'll, you know, then we got a shot. And that's exactly what he did. Another move that he made was, it's the eighth inning, game two. Brewers have been down by three for about four or five innings. But Council says, hey, let's change the club. Let's pull a different club out of the bag. Let's go with Yelich that lays down a bunt. They end up loading up the bases. And Lovello calls a timeout. He makes a pitching change. And it's normal that if you've loaded the bases, let's get a new pitcher in there. I asked him about that because I asked Yelich about it, and he said, you know, it's just a pitching change. I didn't think it was much of a momentum change. Well, yeah, the next two batters were out, and the side retired, and you guys didn't score again with guys hanging on base. And Lovello said, I haven't been in a lot of playoff games as a manager, but I'll tell you this. The thing that you got to do is that when one of those rallies is going, you have to find every way you can, whether it's you challenge a play, you make a pitching change, anything. You've got to change the momentum, just like a football coach freezing the kicker. And that's what he did. He did it intentionally. It absolutely changed the momentum of the game, and the Brewers couldn't score.
Mike, do you think Coach Counsell will be back?
You know, David Stearns, the longtime GM, leaves that position, gets kicked up, and the Mets are cleaning house because they spent, what was it, $350 million on a veteran group that, you know, that already's got too much money in the bank and they were not motivated. So David gets his dream job of being the New York Mets president of baseball operations. Then they get rid of their manager last week, the veteran Buck Showalter. Then they got rid of their other general manager. They've cleaned house and opened the door. It's wide open. So are people in the media, are they just kind of setting this up? Well, listen, in August, Craig Counsell said, hey, you know, any talk of an extension here? You've got the team into the going to the playoffs. He goes, we'll talk about that after the season. Okay. I asked Christian Yelich about it after the game Wednesday night. I said, what if Counsell's not back? And he pretty much confirmed, we have no idea. It's a very strong possibility he won't be here next year. And when you also look at what's going to happen, we expect that Corbin Burns is going to be gone, that Brandon Woodruff is going to be gone. Those five or six players that they picked up, you know, essentially as rentals, won't be coming back. It's going to be a new team. And here's the other thing. If Counsell goes, I'm not so sure Euchre's back. He's 89 years old.
Yeah.
He's had some struggles. He's only doing home games. Actually, there was one series that he had to sit out, you know, because of home games, and he's made a few struggles. I'm a huge, huge fan of him.
Yeah.
But I wonder if Counsell goes, is Euchre going to come in for like a rebuild and a new manager at this point?
It's a great point. Yeah. I appreciate that. But, you know, I'm a big Craig Counsell fan. Nothing hurt me more in that sentence than hearing that Euchre might be gone, though. Like, that actually hit my heart. I didn't even think about that. I think that's a really good point, Mike. Thank you for that. Mike, do you have a minute to talk Badgers?
I do.
Okay. But let's talk a little bit about the homecoming game that you can hear right here on WFHR. Our pregame kicks off at 9 a.m. Wisconsin Badgers hosting Rutgers. Outside of Coach Schiano for Rutgers putting on a helmet, is there anything to fear about Rutgers, Mike?
Well, you know, what are they, 3-1 coming into this?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
You know, I think the big thing is this, is for the Badgers, this is let's face it now, you know, this is a team that is trying to learn a new offense. Then they lose that Ches Belusi 89-yard touchdown run was one of the best runs I've seen by any football player in the last 3 or 4 years. It was just outstanding how he's changing direction. And then a couple of games later, broken fibula, done for the season, another killer injury for him. And it seems like Luke Fickell doesn't know what to do with Braylon Allen.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it's just like, dude, you know, the best quarters you've had is when you just gave those two guys the ball and you ran the football.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think I told you guys this before. Did you know that I give credit to this to Luke Fickell, the new head coach, where he got there. And then, you know what? He went and saw the retired athletic director, Barry Alvarez, and said, you know, what do you think I should do with what I've got half my roster is Paul Chris guys. I got a bunch of guys to transfer. And you know what Barry said? Go talk to Paul. Go talk to Paul.
Wow.
Called Paul, and Paul invited him over, and those guys talked for 2 hours because Paul Chris is that loyal to the program.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, he got fired. About why did you pick this player? How do you see the other teams? And so, you know, give Fickell the credit for that.
Absolutely.
So, but, you know, it would be great. He's got to get a win and establish a win at home against Rutgers because what's coming up next is it Iowa, Illinois. I think that one's on the road against Belima, and then Ohio State. So it could be a rough, 3 weeks after that.
Yeah.
That would be a great thing for the Packers or for the Badgers to pull off a win tomorrow, 11 a.m.
Mike, we appreciate the time so much. I always feel like I keep you too long, but I can't help myself. I just love talking with you, man. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too.
You too.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mike.
Big thank you to our sports director here at Civic Media, Mike Clemens, for joining us. He joins us usually before Badger or Packer games during the week.
Yeah, big stuff going on, yeah.
We'll be talking with Mike throughout the season here, thankfully. We'll take a quick break. We are going to get right to Melissa's news. I actually want to jump right to that. So we're going to go ahead and get to Melissa's news, and we'll come back and we'll have some more fun, get into a little bit of other things on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. A Navy service member who's from Nakusa advanced aboard the USS Iwo Jima. Personnel Specialist 3rd Class Journey Falkowski advanced to the next pay grade through the Meritus Advancement Program, or MAP, on September 26th. She's serving aboard the WASP-class amphibious assault ship USS Iwo Jima. Falkowski is a 2020 graduate of Nakusa High School and has served in the Navy for 1 year. Upon achieving this next level of responsibility, Falkowski said, "This opportunity to advance will further my career, getting me in the right position to be a capable recruiter. The accomplishment is just taking me one step closer to that goal." Temperatures are about to turn colder. A new report by Hop Energy reveals how worried we are about being able to afford to heat our homes this winter. A nationwide survey shows 1 in 3 Americans are struggling to pay for energy bills in 2023. In the Midwest, our energy bills are about 10% below the national average at $180 per month. Midwesterners try to keep bills low by waiting to turn on the heat until October and keeping the thermostat below 70. Many plan to spend an average of $181 getting their homes ready for winter. This includes putting plastic over windows and switching to energy-efficient light bulbs. The report also shows that more than half of Americans keep their homes at lower temperatures than they'd like, and 65% will bundle up in warm clothing to avoid turning up the heat. The Central Wisconsin Fall Fire Conference, hosted by Mid-State Technical College, took place on Saturday, September 30th. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department brought together fire and EMS personnel from 16 different organizations at Crossview Community Church. The event gave participants opportunities for professional growth and leadership building. There were 2 sessions led by keynote speaker Dr. Richard Gassaway. They focused on how to use situational awareness to improve safety by learning best practices to avoid mistakes. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News on WFHR and WIRI, your locally grown radio stations.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Around the corner,
around the country,
or around the world, take WFHR with you wherever you go.
Take us to work, on the boat, or in the stand this hunting season.
Download the Civic Media app and make WFHR your co-pilot all day, every day. And never miss another news update, Badger game, or serious comedy to start your day.
WFHR is here for our community by keeping you informed and entertained. So take us with you and never miss a beat.
Please join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30, where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies.
Daytime highs approaching 52. West winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tonight, lows dip down to about 33. Partly cloudy. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high of 53. Cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
Nope. Try that again. All right. Yeah, that's more like it. Sorry. Can't do REM on a Friday. Little
Probably involved. Ruin your whole day.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. We want to send a big shout out to our friend Mike Clemens for joining us.
Yes.
Great conversation with Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun talking with him today. That was a good one.
Knows his stuff, that's for sure.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. One last note about Dick Butkus I wanted to mention. Of course, the actor that he was as we get mm-hmm. into our entertainment section here. Dick Butkus, I think a number of movies, very similar to Bubba Smith.
Yes.
Or Jim Brown.
Merlin Olsen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. These guys that retire from football and going to acting.
Yeah, exactly.
Unnecessary Roughness, Johnny Dangerously, Any Given Sunday he was in. But he actually had a quote about acting that I thought was interesting.
Oh, okay.
His first love, of course, was football.
Mm-hmm.
Football for me was never work. If you love something, it's not work. But if acting were my real true love, I'd be honing my craft, wouldn't I, over at some silly theater or something like that. So, Dick Butkus never tried to be an actor.
No.
And I love that because I actually think he was good.
He wasn't bad, you know? Although it's kind of funny when you watch him, it's like he is kind of like in on the joke.
Oh,
when he's like, he's got that little smile on his face. He's like, right. I'm just being silly, you know, kind of thing.
I didn't get to see the man play football, certainly, but mm-hmm. I did get to see his commercials.
Yes.
And his self-deprecating. And one of my favorite styles of comedy is self-deprecating.
Oh, for sure.
I genuinely, as a grown man, I can't respect people that can't make fun of themselves.
Yeah, 100%.
Period. I cannot. I have no respect for you if you cannot take a joke. If
yeah.
you can't laugh at yourself, you're not getting the punchline.
Nope.
Butkus
you
got
are
that.
The punchline.
You are. Yeah, nice, nice. Butkus got that better than most.
He
I
did.
Think.
Absolutely.
Looking at what's new on your TV this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Austin City Limits Music Festival live streaming.
Ooh, cool.
There are going to be some good stuff on there, certainly.
I'll bet.
Encourage everybody to check that out. New movie on Netflix called Reptile Murder Mystery, starring Benicio del Toro, Justin Timberlake, and Alicia Silverstone. What the what?
There's a mix for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I haven't seen Benicio in a while.
Yeah.
Great actor.
I love him. He's great.
He is really good. Let's see here. Also going on Sunday Night Football, San Francisco taking on the Dallas Cowboys. And the Caine Mutiny Court Martial, a legal drama based on the Herman Wouk's classic, The Caine Mutiny,
mm-hmm.
classic novel.
Yes, it is.
That is what's new on your small screen. On your big screen this weekend, nothing really. She Came to Me, starring Peter Dinklage. It's in limited release. You ain't going to see it around here because certain reasons that our local theaters believe in. They make their politics pretty clear.
Right.
So I'm not going to play a movie like that. But Anne Hathaway and Peter Dinklage are in it, and they look really good in
Interesting,
it.
Yeah.
The Exorcist Believer, rated R. This is the first in a new trilogy, and it's directed in direct sequel to the Exorcist film from 1973.
Oh, wow.
Ellen Burstyn returns as Chris McNeil.
Wow.
She's the mother of Regan. She was not going to do this until she saw the script. And something about the script said, I got to do this. She don't need the money.
Boy. Does that tell you something?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
It stars Leslie Odom Jr. And a couple of other big-name actors. And Jennifer Nettles of the country duo Sugarland is in this, too.
Ooh, how about that? Yeah. How cool.
I have no idea if it's going to be any good or not or anything like that. But with these reimaginings, it's usually hit or miss. It usually hits really well or it misses bad.
Badly, yeah.
If it misses bad, this is the first of only one. This is one of one. They talk about trilogies and stuff, but they can't back it up always, you know, and we'll see if that actually happens. and wanted to mention this as well. Today, we usually do our National Day of Calendar on the Sunrise Show, which you can catch Monday through Friday, 7 to 8 on Wisc Country 105.5 WIRI. But we wanted to mention this today because it's a good one. It's a fun
one.
The first Friday of October, for those don't know, that do not know, is Kids Music Day. It's always celebrated on the first Friday in October.
All right.
It was created in 2004 as a way to encourage young people to express themselves through music and art.
Yes.
It's a wonderful, 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 wonderful way idea and a wonderful way for, you know, just kids to have some fun, to be creative. Yeah. And certainly, I think very important, kids playing instruments. Whether they go on to play an instrument for the rest of their lives or not is here or there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It's like, you know, you can make a comp there of sports. You know, you learn so much. It's not necessarily about winning. It's about the teamwork and all that stuff. But music is the same way. It's about getting confidence. So it's about learning something new and something you can use in other aspects of your life.
Very well said. And I not with the rambling that I would have done. Our great
I'm here to edit things. Yeah, I'm just concise.
Our good friend Ashley, head of sales around here, sent us a video with the kids from Howe Elementary. Mm. Sing it. We want to play a little of that for you right here. So we're going to do that right now.
All right.
Yes. I really do want to do a We Will Rock You band at it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That was awesome.
Fantastic. That was awesome, you guys. That was great. Shout out to the elementary kids over at Howe Elementary.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
Absolutely great.
And it lets us let you know that we're up to more of these kind of things, everybody.
Yeah.
You're an elementary school teacher out there, and you want to send us videos or audio of your the kids singing or maybe doing some other stuff, some fun things.
This love is to what, highlight them. Yeah.
Yeah, this is what we're all about. We're local radio, baby. That's what we want. We want to get all of our local grade schools on the air here and stuff and have some fun with that one. And to all the teachers out there, have fun with this day. Thank you so much for all you do. And enjoy, kids. Enjoy. Enjoy some music. Enjoy the fun.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break right now, but we'll let the kids play us out here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
When you think of pizza, do you think of a ham roll-up pizza? This off-the-wall culinary masterpiece will keep you coming back. Who makes this fresh, mouth-watering pizza? Club Forest Bar and Grill on Highway 54. Their ham roll-up pizza features ham and pickles with a cream cheese sauce. Yum! Don't sit in the kitchen and cook during the next pregame. Call Club Forest Bar and Grill, 715-345-1220, and let them do the work for you. Club Forest Bar and Grill, proud supporters of Pet of the Week with James Maylock, every Thursday at 9 a.m.
It's time to lock in your tee time at University Ridge Golf Course. Proud host site of the American Family Insurance Championship and home to the Wisconsin Badger golf teams, University Ridge is a public course that's yours to play without a costly membership. Visit UniversityRidge.com and reserve your 18-hole tee time up to 90 days in advance. Don't have time for 18 holes? Try our 9-hole putting green or hit balls on our grass tee practice range. Play where the Badgers and the pros play. University Ridge.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises. Yeah. I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. We'll be right back.
Teachers, learners, schools, and communities have never faced more challenges than they do in 2023. Is education a matter of national security? Major elections, artificial intelligence, educator shortages, these issues have serious implications. Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci break it down every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for you and your neighbor. Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Network.
Find previous shows and more at civicmedia.us.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 52, west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tonight, lows dip down to about 33, partly cloudy. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high of 53, cloudy skies.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. No rain today.
That's true.
No rain. We might get some frost. We might get some other, almost every other type of weather, but not rain. No rain. Seth and James here with you to wrap up the show. We want to send a big, big thank you to Melissa for joining us today.
Yeah.
She had a meeting coming up and appreciate her still being able to hang out with us a bit. Mm-hmm. Our great friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. We got to talk to Laura today. That's been a while.
I know. It's crazy, man.
That was fun. And, of course, a big thank you to our good friend Mike Clemens for joining us. That mm-hmm. was awesome. Great
yes.
talk. Great conversation with Mike. That conversation went a little long. So without Melissa in that, we're going to get into the weirdest ways you've ever made some cash on
okay.
Monday.
Okay. All right.
Monday's show, we will be getting into that in the 9 o'clock hour.
I want to hear Melissa's. I'm curious about that, yeah.
And I want to hear from you out there. This will give you guys the weekend.
Whole weekend, yeah.
You have homework this weekend, everybody. Think about the weirdest thing you've done for cash, PG version.
Please.
PG version. And get ready to call up 424-2600 on Monday and join the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. That's
going
to
be cool.
That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
I've got ones that I got to figure out what ones I could say on the air. that's going to be fun for me. wanted to touch on this one with you, Seth. Kids, do you ever open up your lunchbox at school and think, what the what? There's no passion in this. What is this? I don't know. In a new survey, 26% of parents say packing their kids' lunchbox is their least favorite chore. In fact, 29% would rather clean the bathroom than put a few things together for their kids' lunch.
Well, that's interesting.
Very.
Fascinating.
This is borderline shocking.
Man. Yeah, it is.
17% of parents say that they'd rather get a cavity filled, which seems unnecessarily dramatic.
No, wait a minute now. Now you're just getting too far.
Yeah.
We're getting to ridiculous
what is going
land
on here.
Yeah.
Packaging lunchboxes can take a lot of time, especially if you're pre-preparing multiple items for your kid's taste and not just tossing a Lunchable in there. And it can be frustrating because 72% of parents say their child's lunches often come back from school uneaten.
Oh, no.
Ooh, man.
Wait, what, 72%? Is that what that was?
I wouldn't have even gone home. If I tried to do that to my Nana or my mom, I wouldn't have even gone home then. I mean, I'd be at the circus right now. I'd be at the circus still. I've been there for 20, 30 years because I didn't finish
my lunch.
See,
the amazing thin man.
Yes, the scarecrow that talks. That's what I would have been. Yeah, just standing there in the corner. And we want to hear from you guys out there, 424-2600. Parents, is this really that? I didn't know this was a thing, honestly. Making lunches for my kids was never too big.
No.
But they were really little, too.
True.
And, you know that. So, by the way, if you're teaching your kids to pack their own lunch, there's a promotion happening on social media hosted by Juicy Juice.
Okay.
Here's how it works. You just have your kids pack their lunch, take a photo, and post it on social media with the hashtag that you can look up. It's all a bunch of jumbled words and everything.
Weird. Anyway,
they got to get better about these hashtags.
Come on, man. They've been around for how long? 10, 15 years now? What's going on?
They're looking for the best entry every Friday in October starting today. And at the end of the month, one grand prize winner will get 10 G's and can be used towards groceries. They can be used towards groceries. For what it's worth, they say they're looking for unique results of their kids packaging their own lunches. So it seems like they're targeting ones that are especially good, bad, or creative.
Okay.
424-2600. If you want to call up and join us and join the conversation about these this topic, because I didn't think this was that big of an issue.
Well, I have a kid that makes his own lunch when right he on. Wants when he wants to bring something from home. Not a lot on social media, though. So, sorry, can't do that part of it.
Yeah. I was about 10, 12, somewhere in between there when I first started making my own lunches.
Yeah. That sounds pretty reasonable, yeah.
And I don't know. I don't remember it ever being I don't know if it's way I grew up or what we had, that we didn't have much or whatever, but I don't ever remember getting a lunch and being like, oh, this is it, or oh, what is this?
You know?
I just remember being thankful. And I feel like I'm not in I don't have a good judgment in this conversation.
Well, and it's 'cause then if your child makes the lunch, and then we're going to make what they want, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you have to be careful that it's not all, you know, Reese's peanut butter cups or something like that, of course. but in general, they're going to, you know, you say, well, you need to have this, you know, some fruit and all this kind of stuff in there. They'll do it, and they'll get what they want. So then they should eat it, really, you know.
It's interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting conversation. nobody won the Powerball drawing Wednesday night, which means tomorrow's jackpot is a huge $1.4 billion. And here are some random odds about it as we lead into our That Ain't Right stories.
Oh, okay.
So the odds of winning the Powerball jackpot are about 1 in 292.2 million. To put that in perspective, your odds of getting struck by lightning are around 1 in 15,300. Your odds of getting attacked by a shark are 1 in 3.7 million. And your odds of dying in a plane crash are 1 in 11 million. And here's another way to think about it. Imagine you have Scrabble tiles and spell out Powerball. Mix them up in a bag and then select them in a random order. The chance of correctly spelling Powerball is about 1 in 118,000. And and even more odds.
Wow.
But somebody's got to win, right? Assuming there's just one jackpot winner and they take the cash option, they bring home a cool $643.7 million before taxes.
Wow.
What can you buy with that dough? Several private islands, which cost a little bit over $100,000. At least a few private jets. The most expensive Lamborghini ever sold, which has the Lamborghini Veno Roadster. It fetched $8.3 million at auction. You may even be able to buy tickets to the Taylor Swift concert. I don't know.
Maybe. That's a maybe.
It's a maybe. I'm not guaranteeing that to anybody. But you could
or the next Chiefs football game.
Right? Yeah. Nice. Or you could do some good with it too. You know, there's that. I don't know. Just throw that into there.
Gosh.
Interesting one.
Why do we always the first comp is always like being struck by lightning. That's always the first comp.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. You know.
It is a good you're right, though. That is the first one that we go to. And I don't
always
know why.
Go to that one.
That's interesting.
Because I think it seems like such a rare thing. I mean, it obviously, it's not as rare as we think it is because the odds are a lot better than a lot of things out there. So we should rethink that.
Got to get to our feature That Ain't Right story right here. And here is maybe the weirdest headline of the week. A missing monkey named Momo was spotted drinking beer in Indiana. I spend a lot of my time at the station here over the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 years encouraging people to read articles, not just headlines. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, the headline tells you all you need to know. You really don't have to read up on this one.
You know what the strangest word in that headline was, though? Indiana.
Yes. I thought the same thing.
Escape monkey. Okay, why are they in Indiana? That's what I want to know.
Cops in Indianapolis got a call Wednesday evening after someone's pet monkey escaped and made a run for it. He's a type of monkey native to West Africa called a patasis monkey, that can weigh up to 30 pounds, and they're the fastest primate on Earth.
Whoa.
They can sprint up at over 30 miles an hour, so they're hard to catch.
Wow.
The fastest speed Usain Bolt ever hit was around 28 miles an hour, just in comparison there.
So it could beat Usain Bolt in a foot race. Wow. Yeah.
Several people spotted Momo on Wednesday. There were also unconfirmed reports that he may have bitten some people, although there are no confirmations on that.
All right.
One person who saw him said that they watched him ding through someone's garage garbage can, pull out a beer can, and drink the remaining beer that was in it. Thankfully, Momo's bender came to an end yesterday. A guy saw him sprint through his yard and break into a vacant home next to door. So he called in, and Momo was now back home, safe and sound.
Any word on how many cigars he smoked?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
How many pairs of roller skates that he found and started rolling around on?
My that ain't right part of this story is not Momo.
It's not Momo.
The person that took ownership of Momo and brought him to this place. You know, you shouldn't be having these. Please call up 715-424-2600. Tell me the reason why this should be legal. Tell me why it should be legal to have these unique animals, these endangered... Wild animals.
Yeah.
Why that's okay. Why we're still allowing this in 2023.
Man.
Did we not learn anything from Tiger King or whatever? Wasn't that supposed to be what we took from that? That, hey,
the moral of the story. Yeah.
Everybody that watched that during the pandemic came out of it with the same thing. I need a shower afterwards. and hopefully we're in the shower deep thinking. You thought of, why can't people own tigers?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this a thing? What are we doing? There's a guy with the pet alligator. Got a pet alligator as a therapy animal. And he's bringing it all over. And I don't begrudge anybody their therapy animals. But this guy is bringing this alligator. And there are pictures all over on social media of people holding this alligator right next to their head.
Ah!
Like, it's an alligator. Like, I don't care how domesticated it is. I don't care if that alligator was raised by human beings. It is an alligator. Quit trying to put human instincts onto animals.
Please.
And don't get mad at the, because you know who takes the hit on this? The animal.
Yeah.
If this monkey bites somebody, it ain't the owner that's getting put down. It's the monkey that does. Mm-hmm. It's all about human beings. If it's about you and it's not about the animal, you should not own the animal. We talk about this with Madison and Humane Society all the time. Why is it any different with these, you know, wild animals? It doesn't make any sense.
If the animal has been raised in captivity and that's all they know, then you are required to take care of it. These animals are not. They're born in their own habitat. There's a reason they're there, okay? That's where they live. That's why they're there.
I lump this in the same group of these cowards, these overcompensating people that need to go to another country and quote-unquote hunt an elephant or something that's been drugged, and then they shoot it and take their little picture and all that. Yeah. Cowards, yeah. I need a palate cleanser. We need a palate cleanser.
Yeah, right.
And we got a good one coming up for you today. We got great programming all day long for you. Stick around after our show, As Goes Wisconsin. Of course, Jane doing an amazing job filling Kristen.
In there.
Love you, Jane. Keep up the great work. Join us today from 3 to 4 from Midday Magazine. We're going to have some great guests in with us in part one. We're going to talk with Matt and Jim about the Wisconsin Fire and EMS Memorial. We don't get to talk about this nearly enough.
No, it's really cool.
Really looking forward to the guys coming in and talking with them. And we'll wrap up the week with Representative Scott Krug. Looking forward to talking with Scott a little bit later as well. And, of course, great sports on your radio all weekend long. It kicks off tomorrow right here at WFHR at 9 a.m. Homecoming, Wisconsin hosting Rutgers.
All right.
Should be a good one. Again, our pregame will kick off at 9 a.m. for that one. At 1:40 on our sister station, WIRI 105.5, you can catch Assumption Football hosting Aurora Central Catholic. Randy Paul on the call, y'all. Michael going to be running that one with him. Seth on the board. You know it's going to sound good.
No overtimes, please. I want something just to win it outright.
Just outright. A little bit later on Saturday at 6:30, Wisconsin hockey hosting Augustana.
Mm-hmm.
And then that game, the second of that two-game series, will be on Sunday at 4:30. We'll talk about it on Playmakers on Monday at 3 o'clock. Also, we got right here a bunch of great original programming. Kicks off tomorrow at 6 with Outdoors with Dan Small.
Mm-hmm.
Great show.
Yep.
7 a.m., maybe the greatest show you will ever hear, the Sunshine Polka Show. Hosted by our main man, Tim Humboldt, the polka guy.
Just sent me a whole bunch of shows that we're going to put on, so get ready, everyone. Get your dancing shoes on. It's time for some polka.
It's an institution here at WFHR having that show. We appreciate all the great work that Tim does on that. And also want to mention that we have Terry Talks Nutrition after that from 8 to 9.
Yep.
Terry, great show.
Yep.
Brought to us by our great friends at Family Natural Foods.
Yes, indeed.
And normally you can catch Over the Back Fence at 11 to noon with Seth. Not this weekend, though.
Badgers football
this
week, so...
You can catch the Sunshine Polka Show again at 1 on Sunday, and be sure to join us for Seth Faces Music from 6 to 8 every Sunday.
This week, it's going to cut in, the hockey game's going to cut into it a little bit, so I just put a repeat in there. It's one I did about a year ago about magic, so you might get a few magic songs at the end of the hockey game on Sunday.
Very cool. And while we will be playing a repeat of Director's Cut this Sunday because of the hockey and a lot of the... And we're going to have a bit of that this summer, or this winter, I'm sorry, this fall, this winter.
With the Bucks and all the stuff going on, yeah.
I do want to let the audience know, we have landed a couple of really cool guests coming up in the next couple of weeks, including a local artist. I don't like to announce this stuff until we've actually got the interview down.
Yeah, exactly.
But I am jacked. Yeah. I am so excited about this. They're a local band out of Stevens Point that we're so excited to have join us. That's coming up.
That's gonna be cool.
Along with some other great friends of ours and some new guests, too. All that coming up, everybody. We're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We also wanted to mention, too, actually, let me go ahead and do something real quick here. Let's take a phone call real quick.
All right.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, James.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Oh, boy, they're barely. You buy me 1-1.
Yeah. Not going to go winless. That made our day. You know, it was a hard losing Dick Butkus hit my family hard, but it made things a little bit easier having that.
I heard you mention there won't be no over the back fence tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow. I do believe it might be back next Saturday, though. Next Saturday.
We'll see. I'm not sure on that one either.
We've got to take a look at the sports schedule. We are beholden to our sports, so
yes, we are.
We've got to move those shows as it is. But we encourage you to have a great weekend. Tell your wife hi for us.
Okay, James, you guys have a good one.
You too. Brother.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate you. Best listeners in radio
Good to hear from him.
And we wrap up encouraging you to get your tickets for Blythe Spirit.
Yep.
A premiere today. Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater kicks off their 23-24 season with Blythe Spirit. If you can't catch it today, well, why not? What's wrong? No.
Wrong with you?
Get in the show tomorrow. They'll have a show, and then they'll come back on the 12th, 13th, and 14th. The 14th, all the shows are at 7. 14th, going to have a 2 o'clock matinee to go along with the 7 o'clock show. Buy local, support the arts, and be entertained, everybody. You are going to have a
fun
time.
Good stuff.
We wish a great run to the cast, to the crew,
Absolutely.
Everybody involved. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. We're going to let the kids from Howe Elementary play us out. Have a great week, Seth. Great show. Thank you.
Yes, you too, man.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here